For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And it's a new season, so we're going to start off the show today by giving you a quick intro to Ladies Talking Leafs, who we are, how we came to loving the Leafs, and how we got to be best friends and hockey buddies.
So seeing as it's a new season, we may have new listeners who aren't really familiar with our backstory. So we just wanted to give you a little bit of an idea of how Ladies Talking Leafs came to pass. So myself, I started watching hockey as a wee one, with my dad, mostly Hockey Night in Canada. At that time, it was just on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I became a huge fan, and it was something special that I shared with my father. And then Christine and I started working together. We've been really good friends for about 30 years. We started working for the same company, and we bonded over the team, started going to games together. Mm-hmm. And then we just talked hockey all the time. It was just natural. And Christine is like a massive fan. It just was something that was very organic. And then around 2019, we were sort of in between things. And I said to Chris, you know, I was always encouraging her in particular to follow her passion and to, you know, channel her passion for the Leafs into something. And I said, why don't we start a podcast? And at first she was a little bit unsure about the idea, but we decided to give it a go, and Ladies Talking Leafs was born.
Yeah. It's been really, really fun. And it does help the fact that when we started to get to know each other, and that it helped that it was during the early 90s when it was the Doug Gilmore show, mm-hmm. basically back then. And that was one hell of a ride, let's just say. But yeah, and I got into hockey basically through my uncle John, who was an avid Leaf fan, and I used to go over to his place. He just lived across the street from me, and we used to watch hockey Wednesdays and Saturday nights, like you said. So those were the nights, 8 o'clock start, and we actually have an 8 o'clock start in the end of October, apparently, the Halloween game versus LA.
It's going to be. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is odd, but then my mom actually reminded me a couple of days ago. It was funny. She's like, "Don't you remember your dad used to like Montreal?" I'm like, "Don't remind me." I know. Yes, he did. My dad was not an avid hockey fan like me. I mean, he'd talk hockey or whatever. He'd ask me things about the Leafs and that, but my uncle was the one who was the true Leaf fan, and he used to get tickets from the car dealership guy, and it's where I got my first game. I don't know what team it was. I don't remember, but it was $7.50. I'll never forget the price tag on that ticket at Maple Leaf Gardens. But yeah, no, it's once me and Sil got into the got together through work, and from then on it's just been one hell of a ride. And then she gave us she came up with the idea of this podcast, really, and Ladies Talking Leafs was born. So yeah, it's exciting. We're enjoying every minute of it, that's for mm-hmm. sure.
5 seasons in, and we couldn't be more excited to talk about this season coming up. So that's a little bit about us. And if you want to share how you became a Leaf fan and how you found out about our show, you can DM us on our social media, and our handle there is at LTL1917, or you can email us also at ladiestalkinleafs@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you want to get in on the comments. Our handle there also is at LTL1917, and you won't miss out on any videos that we post there from games that we attend live. And for sure, you want to subscribe to all our social media with the big announcement that we have coming up later in the show. So before we get into the show, we're excited to announce a new partnership with Bet Online. You can find all the latest NHL game day bets as well as props and futures. Currently, Bet Online has the Leafs at +950 to win the Stanley Cup.
Yes, football is back and so is hockey. And BetOnline is your number one information source for all your sports wagering info and all the up-to-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest odds, spreads, and totals from the NFL, college football, and NHL all at your fingertips with BetOnline's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds.
From week one all the way to the college football playoffs, the Super Bowl, and the Stanley Cup playoffs, BetOnline gives you access to the best promotions and contests available anywhere online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. So remember to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So BetOnline, where the game starts. Please remember to gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or advice, reach out to Connects Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it. And now it's time to get into our show, and we're happy to have back the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And for our third period segment, we're going to talk about some Leaf milestone moments that are coming up for the season and give our thoughts on the league's decision to ban the use of pride tape. And finally, don't forget, we will have our big news to share with you closer to the end of the show. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right, the good, the bad, the ugly, back for another fifth season. Or actually, I think it's a fourth season because I don't think we had it in the first season. But anyways, my good for the past couple of games, because we're recording this on Sunday, is John Klingberg. So I don't know, but I'm just loving the fact that we don't have that drop pass on the power play anymore. We don't seem to. Very, very rarely have I seen that drop back to enter the ozone.
And they mentioned it too, like in the post game media scrums, that, you know, they were asking them, you know, what's the difference with the power play? And they talked about Guy Boucher telling them to stay aggressive and to not slow things down, which I think that's kind of what they're referring to there. You know, not circling back and recalibrating.
And it's just the, I guess, like, he's played in the first couple of games, he's played over 20 minutes in both games, and he's a big guy. He's 6'2". He's actually only 185 pounds, but to me, he looks bigger than that.
He's tall and lanky, though. Like,
he's lanky. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But just the way he obviously knows how to run a power play. And we talked about this before. And he actually has no shots on goal, though. That's interesting, through the two games.
That's because he keeps dishing to Willie for the one timer. Yeah. I think we're going to see that combo a lot.
He does have the three assists in the two games. But the only thing I'm a little bit worried about is the pairing with Jake McCabe. I don't know if it's going to hopefully... I guess McCabe is a younger defenseman too. So he's, I'm thinking he is going to improve as the season goes on and you get used to the partners. It's only two games, obviously. Right. So you got to give it some time to get that chemistry with Klingberg. Cause there's really, the way the pairings are set right now, there's really no other way to do it, I don't think. But you can definitely notice a difference on the power play. And he's been pretty good defensively too. He's been using his body and I guess taking away the chances and getting, I guess, pushing the guys to the outside. And as long as Sammy stays in his goal crease there and stops swimming a little bit, that'll be it's been good. So he's my good, John Klingberg.
Yes, the thing that impresses me is his skating. Like he's so smooth, and the way his lateral movement along the blue line is really where he's just so good. You know, he basically patrols that blue line on the power play, and he's so mobile, you know, end to end or side to side that.
Yeah, it's great too to have that the 1-2 combination now with Riley being on the second power play, who obviously can walk the line as well. But he just doesn't have the shot. Like Klingberg does have a booming shot, even though he has no shots in the past two games.
Yeah, we haven't really seen it yet. But I mean, I think because everyone knows he's a threat for that, that makes a huge difference, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so like for me, my good was, I don't know, it was really difficult to come up with just one thing because, you know, this start has been pretty decent. I think we could all agree. But my thing that I was most impressed with was I'm going to go back to the first game against Montreal, and that is finding a way to win. That game kind of started to get away from us pretty darn quickly. And, you know, playing a lesser opponent last year, we were harping on that all the time. And I mean, obviously, I know it's very, very early in the season, so we're going to have to see how we perform against the lesser lights. But that really was a game on Wednesday that last year we would have found all kinds of ways to lose that game. And the fact that we managed to come back and pull it out, you know, by incredible heroics even. And also like it was incredible when they pulled the goalie really early on twice. We are so lethal on that 6-on-5. It was very exciting and we won, which, you know, like I said, I think that is like a sign of good things to come when we start the season, you know, kind of behind the eight ball, you know, in that game, and we managed to pull out a win. Not pretty, but yeah. So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah. And I mean, the last few seasons, we haven't started off well, right? So
no,
this season it's been different that way. And I mean, obviously we have our core five players, let's say have been chipping in, and it's just I am still a little bit worried with the bottom six, but again, it's two games and they'll find the chemistry. Keefe has to find that combination, the right combination for the bottom six. But going back to your comment about that 6-on-5, like that was a pretty big move by Keefe to actually think of doing that. So early, I guess. I think it was like just over 4 minutes left in the third to get, and then for Matthews to get that, obviously to get them one closer and then score the hat trick goal to tie it up for us to go into overtime. So with the Habs, that's the Habs game. And, but yeah, no, it's definitely, and these, even if it's early, it's just great. It's experience. They're going to build on it. Basically, because they have a big road trip coming up. So, yeah, that's going to be it's going to be a fun one, let's just say, in the next couple of weeks. But let's move on to the bad now. The bad. So we're actually, it's not going to be to do with the team because, again, it's early. So we like to give the guys a break a bit. So we're going to actually say it's the reaction, the fan reaction to the new goal song. Oh, my God. Like, who, I was saying to Syl last night at the game, who cares what the song is? Like, I don't, right? For all, like, I don't know. Syl knows a little bit more about the music thing. And now apparently it's this dupe dupe song that we had last night. Nobody likes that either today from what I heard. But yeah, I don't know what these people want. Like, it's like, to me, it's like, just go back to Hall & Oates then.
Well, I mean, I will say that it seems like they're really digging deep to find something obscure and really meaningful. So like the first song was The Pursuit of Happiness. I don't even know. I don't even remember who the artist is. Oh, Kim Cudi, I guess. Kim Cudi, oh. Kim Cudi, Kid Cudi.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kid so Cudi. Rapper. I thought it had like good energy. But I will say that when I did look at the lyrics and stuff, even though the part that they played, you know, for the goal song didn't have, you know, the lyrics really not that much. you know, the lyrics were kind of questionable. There's kind of a lot of F-bombs in there. It's a family event, really, a hockey game. A lot of young kids go to these things. So whether it's like 100% appropriate, I don't really know. But for the most part, that wasn't even the reason people didn't like it. It was just like, I think unfamiliar to some people. You know, people will say the boomers didn't like it or whatever. But like you said, like, I just want something that's got energy in the building. Yeah. And even the song they played yesterday, Dupe Dupe, it's called, I can't remember I'm just going to look up the artist again.
I don't understand. Like, this has been going on for just too long now. And now it's.
Oh yeah. So it's like by Mickey Krause. And it's actually, he's a German artist. Oh, yeah. And I thought it was good. I didn't mind it.
Remember that? Who was it? It's not Mighty Mouse. Was it Mighty Mouse? Well, who was that DJ? Remember he made a song for?
Oh, yeah. Why don't they use that one?
Yeah. Why don't they use that? Was it Mighty Mouse?
Dead Mouse. Dead
Mouse. Yeah.
And he's Canadian too. So, yeah. And a Leaf fan. So like that, yeah. Why couldn't they could even commission him to do a song that has all the elements that they're looking for. But the other thing is I think it wasn't really, they didn't really make it clear to like how they're doing this, you know, like, because they're going to have like one regular song, and then they're going to have some different songs for different theme nights. So like the song we heard last night, like they're unveiling them all, I guess, over this first week. The song that we heard last night was supposed to be for the next gen game. And then there's going to be an original six matchup game, which I'm assuming we're going to hear on Monday because we're playing Chicago Blackhawks. And then there's supposed to be a throwback Thursday song. So I guess the whole idea is so that there's like a little bit of something for everyone. Yeah. And my guess is that, you know, by the end of the year, they'll probably poll people and then they'll pick the one that's most popular going forward potentially. But anyway, who knew there would be such a backlash, considering there was such a backlash over continuing with Hall & Oates. So, but I have to say, they did go 180 degrees away from Hall & Oates with the first one, Pursuit of Happiness, for sure.
They're trying very hard to get something that will please everybody. So we're willing to give them a bit of a break.
Well, I don't know. And it's different too. Like, whether when you're in the arena, versus how it translates over the airwaves too. So that's something that I guess they got to consider, because maybe it doesn't sound as great, you know, for the home audience. I don't know.
I guess. Go with J-Lo. Let's Get Loud. That's the one that I had last year.
Well, you know, like I'm, you know, it's not one of my favorites, but I can see people getting into it. So
yeah, as long as it has a beat.
It's got to have a beat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Anyways. Okay. No ugly moments.
No.
So
not so far.
Not so far. So that's good. But we definitely have a few highlight reel moments. So
just a few.
Yeah, just a few. So let's roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
Okay, so coming in at number three, we have William Nylander. In the first couple games, Willie was definitely showing he deserves to get paid, unfortunately. So they should just get it over and done with before it gets too out of hand. Anyway, so the first of two goals that he had versus the Minnesota Wild, that was a beauty at the end of the first period. He took the pass from Tavares and then went to his backhand. He saw there was no room there, so to cut in front. And then he went to his forehand around the goalie, put it in, and then did a little bit of a somersault after to just make it look even more spectacular. And anyway, so that was probably a goal of the year potential candidate as well. Yeah. And he was just on a mission. I don't know if it's bugging him that Austin's doing so great. So he's like getting really pissed off when he doesn't put it in, like on breakaways and stuff, because he like broke his stick and everything. He's a little bit pissed off at himself, but he's been playing amazing. He's full value.
Yeah. He had lots of chances, and I mean, I'm wondering if the experiment, I mean, they haven't done it yet at all with him at center during the first two games anyway. So, but I'm thinking because the bottom six is still like not contributing that much, let's just say right now, that they might change things up with him. But the goal he had too, I was debating which one to choose, but that one was,
I know it was tough
cutting. Yeah. Cause there was the one goal where he actually had a slap shot. You never had a slap shot where he went down on one knee and yeah. And he just slapped it right past Jake Allen versus the Habs. That was like a really good, a really good goal. I just like the old style slap shot, goal. So yeah. So he,
and his second one last night was beauty also.
Yeah. Is that the one? I went down to the concession stand, I think.
It was a wrister, but I really liked how it wasn't really a celly. He just basically scored and then put his stick up in the air and it looked cool. I liked it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to number two. Austin Matthews. Okay, so we've grouped this. Well, I won't give it away. Sorry. Hat trick number two versus the Wild. That's what we've picked for number two. Picking his third goal from the game last night on Saturday night, which was the wraparound goal, which was another beautiful goal. The Minnesota Wild player, Jake Middleton, was just all over Austin Matthews. I was watching the replay a few times and I'm like, how the hell did he hold off the guy? The guy's like right all over him. And he held him off and managed to bull his way around from behind the net to complete the hat trick. And that was just, that was just amazing. He's the first player to record a hat trick in back-to-back games as for a Maple Leaf player since Wendell did it. My Wendell. Since Wendell did it back on February 24th and March the 4th of 1994 is when Wendell did that. So yeah, it was quite the night last night, let's say, when he scored that second hat trick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was crazy incredible.
The building was rocking. Definitely. It was had more energy, I think, last night on this for a Saturday night.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. What I think I said last night, that his parents need to move here because they've been in the building for both of these games, the whole family actually. So they are not allowed to go home. They have to stay here because obviously the home cooking from his mom is definitely doing something. Okay. So obviously in our number one spot, we have Austin Matthews again for hat trick number one versus the Habs. Opening night is what made this one extra special to take top spot in our highlight reel. So this one was a tough choice, but we're going to go with his first goal of the hat trick, which was his milestone goal, number 300 on his career. So
that's basically, I mean, to me, he has a lot of milestones. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the third period segment, but it was opening night to get a hat trick on opening night. There's nothing better than that. And I wonder what they did with all those hats.
It used to be that they would collect them and people would be able to get their hats back after, but apparently they don't do that anymore. So I think that's why you're seeing less hats getting thrown on the ice than there used to be, because hats are not too cheap anymore. And and you can't necessarily get them back. So I don't know if they donate them to anyone or, you know, what they do with them, but they basically don't give them back anymore. So
I think it was Pasternak. I think that he chose one for all the hat tricks he had. I don't know what year, I forgot if it was last year. I think it was 2 years, two seasons ago, but he had so many hat tricks, but he picked one from every game to keep.
That's actually a cool memento.
Yeah. To keep sort of thing from the fans. So I thought that was kind of cool, but yeah. So we do want to give some love though to, our other two core forwards, Marner and Tavares, obviously, who have both been contributing on the score sheet as they've been instrumental in getting the puck to Matthews and Nylander. So yeah, the Marner looks a little bit pissed off through the first couple of games too. Like you're saying, Philly looks kind of pissed off, but so is Marner. So so I don't know. Maybe it's because he's. I mean, he said the ice was crap on the first night, so I don't know. But he scored the winner in the shootout. So that's good. But he seems, he just seems to be a little
That's okay. He usually gets rolling around January and then he starts loading up. So,
Well, he already has three assists. So he's setting up, right? He's setting up, Matthews. That, that duo there is doing just fine.
Yeah. So that's one milestone completed for the season so far. And there are a few others that Matthews and his teammates can reach this season. So for that and other topics, it's time to now get into our third period segment.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun season with all these milestone moments. Probably, I didn't realize that there was so many, but most likely, definitely, the biggest one that we know of is John Tavares. He's going to be reaching 1,000 points. After the game versus the Wild, he is 21 points away from 1,000 points.
He's got to get that pretty soon.
Yeah. I was thinking actually it might take him because he's a point-a-game player. Mm-hmm. But I was like looking through the schedule and I actually picked I'm thinking he might get in December, like December.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It should be the first half of the season for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
The latest.
So I was saying December 12th in New York or versus the Columbus Blue Jackets on the 14th. That's games 26 and 27. I went through the schedule, did my homework this time. So we'll see what happens. And then Mitch Marner also has a few milestones that he could reach 200 goals. 400 assists and 600 points. So Marner, he'll need 32 goals, 11 assists, which includes the three assists he already has from the first two games. So he's definitely getting to 400 assists. I mean, no problem there. He only needs
another 11. That's incredible.
I know. And he's now 43 points away from 600. So he's definitely going to get to that as well. Mm-hmm. Like that part of it. And the 32 goals, he might get the... get past 30. Well, he's going to get 100 points. We know that, right? He was one point away last year and that's a mission for him for sure. I'm sure of it that he has that in his mind, that he doesn't want to leave it to the last few games of the season to hit that 100 mark.
No.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to Austin Matthews. So obviously he's reached the 300 goal milestone. He needs to play another 17 games to hit game 500. It's hard to believe that we're already there.
Yeah.
And he needs only three game winning goals to move to third place behind only Matt Sundin and Dave Keon for this team stat. And one last milestone that will be reached is going to come from the current longest serving Leaf, and that's Morgan Rielly, who is now only six assists away from reaching 350 for his career and passing Tim Horton to move into the top eight on the Leafs' all-time leaders for assists.
Yeah. So, these team stats are, I mean, when you have names like Keon, Tim Horton.
Yep.
We'll say Matt Sundin. Like that's, Sundin is the franchise leader for the points. So, to be in that company, it's something special. So, and Matthews, the 500th game, I looked it up there. It's going to be versus Pittsburgh on November 25th.
That's kind of fitting
in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Yeah. So,
versus Sid.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be good. And and Morgan Rielly, I mean, there's also other stats that I guess for defensemen as a Leaf defenseman being the one he's going to rewrite a lot of the record books for Leafs
for defensemen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So now actually we're going to move on with Morgan Rielly. He's actually been pretty vocal on his position when it comes to the NHL's decision to ban the use of the Pride tape. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this now, this decision. Rielly actually said the league's decision is unfortunate, but as players, we're going to continue to offer support and be allies. So in June, the league also made the decision not to have any themed jerseys. So the jerseys like for Hockey Fights Cancer, the Pride Night, the Indigenous themed jerseys. So we're going to have none of that. And basically this all came from a handful of players who opted out to, of wearing the Pride themed jerseys last season. So yeah, I think it's like Riley said, it's unfortunate because it's really something, it's important for all those communities, not just the Pride or for the LGBTQ plus communities, but, it's something for them to have a sense of belonging to the game. And like, I guess the, there was a statement from the You Can Play, organization, and they said if hockey is for everyone, this is not the way forward to do this banning of Pride tape. And I don't know. No. I just think it's because these few Russian players and the Stahl brothers, basically. That's
James Reimer was the other one.
Oh, and James Reimer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Odd one. So it's like almost less than, I don't know, 20 players, maybe, right? Because of like with the few Russian players, we don't know exactly number, but I just think it's ridiculous to just because of those few players to me, then they just don't play that game. That's all.
Yeah. So that's the thing, like the hard work that has been made for decades, you know, promoting equality in the league has been so behind that. It's beyond unfortunate. Unfortunate doesn't even cut it as a word, I don't think. But the thing is with the Pride tape part, it's like, I kind of understand if they don't want to do the jerseys, fine. The Leafs actually never wore jerseys. They created jerseys and they did them as an auction thing, but they never wore them on the ice. So that's the thing. The team and the players have always taken it upon themselves to be allies in the community. And so there's always been players that have worn the Pride tape, and it's not in the rule book anywhere. It says that in the rule book that they can use any color tape that they want. So there's no restriction on that. So the fact that they're coming out and now banning something that has always been, you know, a decision that the players can make, that was never the Pride tape is never a league mandated, initiative. Is always player led. So there's really nothing to for them to fall back on with regards to that. So I actually we've all heard, I think by now, that there's a lot of players that are going to continue to use it regardless. Yeah. And Brian Burke has stepped forward. He's been always a huge advocate for the LGBTQ2S rights and visibility and acceptance. And he's said that for every player that gets fined, if they do get fined, they're going to pay their fines. So the fact that he's backing it, I think that's actually huge. I think there's going to be a huge backlash. So I think personally that the league is going to backtrack off of this because they actually don't have, there's nothing collectively bargained with regards to this. Like I said, it's not in the rules that it's not allowed. And I think the players should be allowed to support and advocate for any groups that they so choose. So,
yeah. I just, I guess, like you said, it's just, I guess, with Brian Burke coming out and supporting and showing it, like he said, that it's not, the league's not promoting inclusion or progress by this decision. So you're not making fans feel welcome to go to a game. And yeah, like you said, I hope they do reverse the decision. I don't know if they will. Bill Daly was on a show last week, and he seemed pretty adamant then that it's just going to stay the way it is. And
Well, personally, I don't think that it actually has anything to do with the players, with the small number of players that don't want to participate. I actually think it has everything to do, and I don't think anyone's talking about this, but the politics in the States is so volatile right now, mm-hmm. and so partisan and so left and right. I actually think that there's got to have something to do with money and advertising, because otherwise, why do this? Why make this a sticking point right now? The only reason I think that that it could be is because of either advertisers or some of the ownership of some of the teams. I don't know who it is, but somebody with big bucks is threatening to pull that money out is the only thing that I can see.
I just hope these communities know, the Leafs are always at the Pride Parade mm-hmm. and showing involvement in that. And they're going to do other things, they say, throughout the season to support these community groups. And, mm-hmm. Just to let them know that they're not just with the Leafs, but other teams as well. Majority of the NHL teams, I think, are gonna do the rest to make the fans and these communities feel welcome to enjoy a game. Would be nice if they lowered the prices.
Yeah, really.
On those nights, why not for those groups, right?
100%. I just hope that one of the things that could be a huge loss is in the last few years. They've had artists being amplified for their creations. Like last year's Indigenous jersey, they didn't wear it at all during the games, but it was just auctioned and it was created and auctioned off. And it was so beautiful and you couldn't buy it. And it was such an exclusive piece that I wanted one so badly, but fortunately way out of my price range. But I was I was this close to getting one. They were so beautiful. So that's the other part of it is that, these artists that, belong to these groups, belong to these communities, they're also potentially, not getting amplified the way they could be, right? Yeah. So anyway, it's sad and it's unfortunate, like we've said many times. Yeah. And I just hope that they walk this back and realize that this is a huge mistake.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Okay, so before we make our big, we're going to be making our big announcement in a couple of minutes. But before that, we're just going to be run through the upcoming couple of weeks of the Leafs schedule coming up. So they are playing Connor Bedard tomorrow night on Monday night versus the Hawks. And before heading out on the longest road trip of the season from October 19th to the 28th. So on Thursday and Saturday, they're going to be playing both playoff opponents from last season, the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. On Saturday night, they'll be playing the Lightning. And then before moving on to, it's very odd, actually, they're moving on to play Ovi and the Caps after that. And then, so that's on the 24th of October.
And then from there, the Leafs are going to go to Dallas on Thursday, the 26th, and then Nashville on the Saturday, the 28th. Those are two really good spots for road trips. On the 28th of October, they're going to be in Nashville. And then they're going to come back and they're going to play one game to close out October against the LA Kings. And that will be on Halloween night. So probably some good costumes at the Scotiabank Arena that night. That's always fun.
Yeah, I didn't look. It's been a while since we've had a game on Halloween night. So at the right on that day. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun. There's always some sort of, I know that, I guess I remember a lot of people show from the garden some weird type of from back in the day, different costumes that people wore on Halloween night. So that should be fun. But the two games obviously this week coming up, the Lightning and the Panthers, those are going to be pretty big games. I mean, the Panthers, I think they don't, because of their run from last year, most of their players are injured.
or gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One or the other. Cause I noticed that, Radko Gudas there, he's in Anaheim now. Mm-hmm. So, and then the Lightning,
he won't be screaming into anyone's face this year.
No. Yeah. And the Lightning, Yeah, the Lightning are, I just heard today, like Stamkos is out day to day with a lower body injury already. And yeah, so those are the two highlights of the, for this week anyways. And Dallas and Nashville, like you were saying, those are going to be, Nashville's been playing pretty well, or I guess early in the season too. So, yeah, we'll see what, and Dallas is Klingberg's old team, right? So we'll see what,
yeah. And I think they're a team to watch this year too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then of course the game versus the Capitals, Ovi going after the record. We'll see how many goals, hopefully won't get any goals on that night, obviously, versus the Leafs.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I'm not sure who will be in net for us because Samsonov, he's yeah, last year, early on, remember we played them there too. And that was the night that he kind of really sort of broke down. It was not a good night for him. He was so nervous. So anyways, hopefully he can exercise those demons.
Yeah, and Joseph Woll, he's actually playing versus the Hawks, they announced.
Yeah, I figured they would today, get him in for a game. So it'll be
to get it in.
The Connor Bedard show. So,
yeah, he's doing his Canadian. Well, he was in Montreal. So, I don't know. He's kind of doing like the Eastern tour.
I think that they can stop, you know, they can kind of tone down the every little move he makes thing, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit ridiculous.
It's getting a little bit much.
Yeah.
But I am still excited to watch him live. So.
Yeah,
that will be good.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll be there. Yeah. Okay, so finally, it's time for our big announcement. Hopefully, all of our listeners waited. I'm sure they did. That we've been mentioning the last few shows.
So, On the Road with Chris and Syl is back and going to Stockholm. We're going to Stockholm, Sweden for the NHL Global Series. So, woohoo! Yes,
yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yes, we are very excited to be taking the show on the road and bringing back some exclusive content for our listeners and viewers on YouTube. Yeah, we're really, really beyond through the roof that we're going to be there. So we're trying to track down all of Willie's haunts. And we're going to report on all of those things. And yeah, this is actually a big trip for us. And we're very, very excited that we are able to pull our pennies together to be able to do this.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, it's our first trip overseas, obviously. And it's the first game, regular season game for the Leafs overseas. They've played previously, I think it was in Finland that they played preseason games, but not regular season games. So,
So I am a little worried about that, you know, this is like right kind of in the middle of this, not really in the middle of the season, but in the middle of the first half. And, you know, that's like a huge time difference. And it hasn't always bode well for teams that have made these trips. So, I'm a little worried about that aspect of it, but
We have the best medical staff, though, right? So they'll have
that's
us
true, and I know that they're going to be, you know, they're going to get their sleep all dialed in. They're going to have all of the everything set for them so that they've got their melatonin and whatever else they need to make sure that they're getting good rest and switching over from the jet lag.
Yeah, and they have the Swedes there, right? Willie leading the way to guide them through all these.
Yeah, because of course they always have to do the switchover when they come back, right? So, but anyway, that's our surprise.
Yeah,
and we're very excited, and we hope that you will follow along with us in November when we report on all of the goings on in Sweden.
So, yes, be sure to subscribe and hit that follow button on social media so you don't miss any of it. YouTube, X, formerly Twitter. I hate that X. I don't know. But Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. Our handle is at LTL1917. And yeah, don't miss any of our road trip reports from Sweden. It's going to be fun. And a reminder also to leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of the show. It's so easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leafs content. And as always, we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link for our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And we, as always, we want to say thank you to our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
And we thank you, as always, for listening and watching Ladies Talkin' Leafs, presented by Bet Online. So until next time, go Leafs, go.
Go Leafs, go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.